Springtime brings so many different racing issues on and off the track. Press Room on Racing Pulse.
Yes, it is time for the Press Room, a new segment on the Extended Racing Pulse, where we speak to some of the sharpest minds in the business who have their fingers on the pulse and know all the stories, the ins and outs. And I speak of, from The Age, Damien Ratcliffe, and from the Sydney Morning Herald in Sydney, Chris Roots. Firstly, Damien, good morning to you.
Yeah, hey, Michael. How are you, mate?
I'm very well indeed. I'm keen to throw a few issues up to both of you boys. First of all, Chris, is it stopped raining in Sydney? What's the weather looking like?
We just call this what we expect now. It's been seems to have been raining for the last 12 months, and I think if we get 80 mils in the next 2 days, we break the record rainfall for a year in Sydney. So it can be depressing, and just got off the phone to Mark Van Gestel. He said it's up and down the state in New South Wales, and if you think New South Wales is probably twice as big as Victoria, maybe three times as big, and nearly every meeting in the state in the next couple of days might be affected by rain. So it's just a watch and act at the moment with race meetings in our state at least. So we might be taking a close look at the Victorian racing for the next couple of weeks.
I was going to say, do you think Randwick on Saturday could be in jeopardy?
It'll just depend. Like Randwick at the moment's got a really good cover of grass. It's been racing phenomenally considering what the weather we've had and the way it's designed and things like that. It holds together. If you looked on Saturday, there was it was the perfect racing surface, although it was heavy, and it a couple of horses didn't handle a heavy track. There was no lanes in it. You could go anywhere. They were going anywhere on the track, and they were winning anywhere on the track, which is always a great achievement by a track manager, especially with a very heavy track. So it just depends how much rain we get. I've spoke to Michael Wood, and he's basically, they prefer heavy rain that goes straight through the profile rather than constant light rain. So if we get a really heavy downpour, which it looks like it's going to do here now, I've got the lights on in the house because it's so dark. It's almost like dust here at the moment. So we're going to get 3 days of rain. They're tipping over 100 mils. So and it's right through to Sunday as well. And Saturday, talking to Mark just before, it's 20 to 30 mils on Saturday. So whether they look at this meeting and say, well, we've got the $15 million Everest for next week, and they look to protect the track, even though the rail's out, that's what it'll come down to. But no decision will be made till at least Thursday.
And I suppose there has been a bit of debate about that. Why are you continuing to race at Randwick when the weather is so poor and you've got your big Everest meeting? Has there been much discussion about that?
Yeah, it's the way this carnival's been designed. It's probably still in its infancy, this carnival, because it's been created over the last 5 or so years, and the meetings are all at Randwick. I think you'll find in years to come that this meeting will move to Rose Hill, then they'll use the tracks a bit, spread the load a little bit more. Like 4 weeks in a row, Randwick really would test any racing surface in Australia. I know they race every week at the Gold Coast, but they've got almost the perfect tropical weather. Here, you probably need that break, and a break going into Everest would give a great surf. So if you look at Melbourne, you go Flemington, Caulfield, Moonee Valley, Flemington for a week. Like, everyone gets a bit of a break, and you get to present the best racing surface. That's probably what we need to look at in New South Wales to get the best racing surface, just to give Randwick a bit of a break.
Well, Damien, we've got the first of three meetings at Caulfield coming up on Saturday. There is a bit of rain predicted on Friday, but I think they're pretty confident, the club, that maybe a soft five, soft six would be the worst unless more arrives than predicted. And the Guineas is the feature, but the Might and Power is probably going to hold more interest on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty much a Cox Plate trial, isn't it? And we saw a couple of these horses run in the Underwood, but you had Animo to it, and it certainly gives it Group 1 status without doubt. So we're going to have a field of 8 there. We had 8 noms, all 8 have accepted. Haven't got the barriers yet, but James McDonald obviously in town. He's riding Animo, Jamie Carr on Zaki, Mark Zara on I'm Thunderstruck. Tim Clark rides Alligator Blood again. Craig Williams sticks with Mr. Brightside. Damien Oliver jumps on Mwanga, Hugh Bowman Road, Mwanga in the Underwood. And then you've got Jordan Childs on Nonconformist and Damian Lane on Benno. And Nonconformist is the interesting one. I think Graham Begg had the same path last year where he ran in this race and backed up seven days later into the Caulfield Cup. So with all the, I guess if you're looking at the Turnbull to try and find a Caulfield Cup winner, the one outside of those horses is Nonconformist, who might run on the seven-day backup, and maybe even Benno as well.
It's going to be a cracking day on Saturday. I'll ask you first, Damien, which is the best day of racing in Australia these days?
In Australia for the whole year? Well, probably Golden Slipper Day. I know we constantly have this debate about whether the Australian Guineas, well, it does take away from the Rose Hill Guineas and the Australian Cup and the Randford are so close together. But, you know, with the changes that they've made on Derby Day, and Chris will have an opinion on this too, but whether Caulfield Guineas Day is now the best day of the spring, Chris?
Yeah, I think now for history and tradition, Caulfield Guineas Day is definitely the best day of racing. I know Max Fresnel, he's been around for a lot longer than all of us, and he loves Caulfield Guineas Day. It's got a tradition and a history. And what I think it gives you the best day of racing is, if you're going to the races and you do not know what the best race is going to be on the weekend, you could have something come out and win the Guineas and give you a real shock. You've got the Turak there with I Wish I Win, and we don't know how good he is. He might be challenging these horses that are in the Might and Power. The Might and Power on paper looks the best race, but it's probably not. And when you now compare this day to Derby Day, well, Derby Day is Derby Day in name only now. What it used to be was the day you looked forward to seeing the best horses in the country, the best jockeys, the best trainers. That's no longer the case. The what's happened now, we've got two Group 1 supports the Derby. Both were Group 1s before the year 2000, so they've only become Group 1s this year. We've lost the McKinnon. In a way, it's lost its gloss because of the way the Melbourne Cup horses come through. You used to have the Melbourne Cup horses running and backing up, so you'd be looking for your cup favourite and things like that. I think with Empire Rose, Bruce McAvaney is famous for when it come down the centre at 26-1 and under McKinnon and said, here's the cup favourite. You don't have that anymore. And the VRC have moved to this Champions Day on the last day, so they've moved away from Golden Eagle Day in a way, which is a new development, to make the last day probably the premier day of racing during the carnival. So you go to a crescendo rather than a build best day into Cup Day, into Oaks Day and Family Day, last day. Now Champions Day is probably the day that's the best day of the VRC, but I don't think it holds a candle to what we're going to see on Saturday at the Caulfield. And I think you'll find now Golden Slipper Day is probably the undisputed best day of racing, where you get to see all the best horses. The only problem with it now is my last year All-Star Mile was on it. If we can get to a point, and this is a very big point with New South Wales and Victoria, the constant little bickering there. Like this week, you've got Silver Eagle, and the meeting at Randwick isn't what it used to be, or doesn't hold a Group 1 or anything. It will allow, in years to come, and I think you'll find this next year more or less, that our better jockeys will all come down to Melbourne and be there at Guineas Day. So it'll be the day where everyone's there in the one spot, and it'll become a better and better day. And that should happen on Golden Slipper Day, and you know, have it as a sort of beacon for the racing industry all to come together and be at the one track with, you know, the Slipper, the Guineas, the Randwick, which probably doesn't fit there as well. But then you've got the George Ryder, and if you remember with races like this, you remember the Riders with Winks, you remember the Slippers with Belle de Jour coming from last. You know, you have memories of these days, and that's what history and tradition comes about with racing, and that's what we should be promoting as much as prize money.
It's funny you say that, because history and tradition has been what a lot of people have been, I suppose, railing against with what Peter Vellante's been doing, these new races, which are worth a lot of money compared to the traditional races. And even James McDonald and a few others have come out and said, that maybe we need to look at this, because when you get an Everest, you get an Epsom with the field that we did on Saturday compared to $1 million in the Hill Stakes, it's diluting our best races. And so many trainers have recently been saying, we actually want to see the best of the best. Is Peter Volandis listening to this, Chris? Could there be any change in tact?
I think what you'll find is, you know, you've got to go to an extreme before you come back to a centre ground. I think we've gone to the extreme now. So I think in coming years, we'll file back into a more of a centre ground. The idea of the Sydney Stakes being worth $2 million is actually affecting the Everest, because people are saying, well, we can't beat Nature Strip. We've got to give away half the prize money. So if we run second or third in the Everest, we're basically doing ourselves out of a chance to win a Sydney Stakes. So I would think in time to come, you might see these races find a prize money level that makes sure that the top end events are a lot better. I think with what's happened in New South Wales in the last this year, especially with races like the Five Diamonds and the Silver Eagle and races like that, they're taking horses away from the Epsom, which has always been a shining light. Like, just in the last decade, you've had Winx, Pappy Clapper racing to win this race. You know, they're horses that you want to measure your... If you've got a great horse, you want to measure your horse against those horses. That it's only $1.5 million, it probably needs a prize money boost. The Hill Stakes needs to come down, and their Metropolitan, well, it's just locked now. It probably needs to be worth more than the Hill Stakes. You want to keep that tradition, and that's the way I look at it. I think that's the way most people who love racing look at it. Prize money is great, and trainers are never going to say, we don't want a $1 million race. But just to place the races correctly is what we want, and to work together so that you've got a program. Like, just dropping $1 million races or $500,000 races on programs doesn't work. And I know there's a big push for the calendar personal to be moved back a week before the Spring Champion, so you've got a 1,600-metre back up into the Spring Champion, things like that. It's a work in progress. It's not the finished product yet.
And, Damien, we've had a lot of talk about the depth of the big races in Melbourne as well throughout the Spring Carnival. You've only got a small elite group which is going every fortnight from the Underwood to the Might and Power to the Cox Plate, the Turnbull last week. What's the answer, do you think?
Well, it'd be interesting to see if Champions Day actually makes any difference. Because obviously, as you said, it's sort of Underwood, Might and Power into the Cox Plate, which is why, you know, the Might and Power, albeit a small field, it's so strong because it's that nice 2 weeks into the Cox Plate. Whereas the Turnbull really does look like a precursor to the Caulfield Cup. So I don't think there's much we can do. We're at the point where we've got three clubs in Victoria, and that's perhaps half the problem, that each of the clubs have their own races that they want to promote. And I know, look, we've even had the discussion a few weeks ago about the weakness of the Fian, because there are just so many Group 1 races at 1,600 and 2,000 metres that even the Fian being a ticket into the Cox Plate isn't what it used to be. So, I don't think much is going to change while we've got three race clubs.
No, exactly right.
I think what you'll find with that is that our racing preparations are getting shorter with our horses, so they're getting more focused on a group of races within maybe a 6-week period rather than what we used to have with these long preparations. If you remember, horses like Saintly and that used to start in a Liston and run right through to a Melbourne Cup. You know, that's a thing of the past. You know, we don't have that hardiness in the breed anymore, and it's more focusing on your target and trying to get there maybe third up rather than sixth up. So I think there's got to be some thought given to the program that these are when the horses want to be at their top, and this is where the meetings have to be. And we've always had that tradition in Melbourne of those races with the Underwood into the Caulfield Stakes, into the Cox Plate, you know, the two-week. That doesn't work with the modern horse, doesn't work as well, because you need 3 weeks break, because they can't pick them up as well as they used to be able to when they were able to give them a steroid or something like that, which is now out of the racing. So, you know, the recovery of the horses is a bit longer. That's why most horses race 3 weeks rather than 2 weeks, the real good one. And if you look at always a month into its main target. So it just gives you some idea of where how the horsemen look at it, and probably they need to be brought into the discussion of any of these races, so we know what's going to suit the horsemen to get their horses on the big day to the big event.
Final word, gents. Keep it tight. We know Richie Callender, he likes to stir the pot. He's come out in his article, we know he's a Sydney sycophant, and said that the Everest is bigger and better than the Melbourne Cup. Damien, yes or no?
No.
Chris?
It is, and it's talked about a long way out now. Realistically, the Melbourne Cup's will be talked about from after the Caulfield Cup. And looking at
We've been talking about the Melbourne Cup in Melbourne all spring.
What horses?
The horses that are going to be heading to a Melbourne Cup and a couple of the internationals.
Are they Nature Strip, Jacko?
Well, Nature Strip couldn't run
Eduardo, 32. Eduardo, these are the horses that the punters know. These are the horses the punters are sitting in the pub discussing, can anything beat Nature Strip? I don't think there's anyone saying, can anyone beat Deauville Legend in the Melbourne Cup sitting in a pub having a beer? Like, they don't even know who Deauville Legend is now, and it'll take until it arrives in the quarantine barn there.
That's
what we don't have. What the Melbourne Cup has lost is that people would watch races all year round to say, oh, is that going to be a cup horse when they won the Queensland Derby or a Victoria Derby or a Sydney Derby or a Sydney Cup? These days, people are watching every sprint race in the country and saying, is that an Everest horse? And I think that's become the talking point of the spring. The Melbourne Cup still has its place. It's still the number one product for racing in the country. But for racing people, the Everest is now the race they talk around the year, where the Melbourne Cup is a race they talk about for maybe a week or two during the spring.
What do you say, Damien?
Well, I think the race of the year last year was very elegant, beating Incentivized, beating Spanish Mission. And we are a bit thin on staying depth this year, and it's disappointing we don't have the internationals, but it is still the race that stops the nation. It's the race that people do the cup sweeps. It's the turnover basically funds country racing for an entire year. So, and what the Melbourne Cup also is, it's the only race at 3,200 metres basically that everyone has interest in. We see these sprinters run against each other week in, week out, and each race seems like a mini Everest anyway, whereas the Melbourne Cup's the one race where all these horses come together for the one and only time for the year over 3,200 metres, and the race is run and won, and you think, oh, I wish I could bet in that sort of handicap race again. You've got to wait 12 months to betting it. While we're there, we do have fields and barriers for the Might and Power if you're interested. So I'm Thunderstruck Strawn, Barrier 1, Michael. Barrier 2, Nonconformist. Barrier 3, Animo, which is probably perfect. Mr. Brightside in 4, Alligator Blood in 5. We've got Mwanga in 6, Zaki in 7, and Benno in 8.
Yeah, and having a look at the full field, Chris, I think you're on the money. This is a cracking race day on Saturday. And I'll just give you one more before we leave. The Toorak, all the talk about I Wish I Win. Luke Nolan rides because it's got Luke's weight. Jamie Carr is now on Military Expert. I Wish I Win has drawn barrier 13 of 14 over the mile at Caulfield. Tuvalu, barrier 1. Gentleman Roy, barrier 4. Just a one-word answer. Are you still with I Wish I Win, Damien?
Yes.
Chris?
On what it did at Sandown was remarkable. I think it'll be very hard to beat, not having had a really good look at the field. Just one more point on the Melbourne Cup and what Damien said before. Last year, very elegant, wasn't assured of running in that race until about 2 o'clock on the Saturday before the race. She wasn't talked about that. She was talking about a Cox Plate all the way through, and that's what the race has become. It's become that sort of, there's that real intense area of focus on it now. It's not a year-round thing. And I remember Chris Waller coming up to me and saying, it's the races. I've put Very Elegant in the Melbourne Cup, and I said, you've done the right thing, and you've got the best jockey in the country on it now. So
ask Chris Waller what he got more enjoyment out of, winning an Everest or a Melbourne Cup.
Well, I think he was very surprised with what the Melbourne Cup meant. I think it was one of those ones that shocked him about how many people have come up to him in the street afterwards. And when you look, he goes, he had wings, and I've spoken to him about this. He says, I had wings, but winning a Melbourne Cup, people look at you differently.
We're going to go, boys. Hey, great debut. I love it. Love the debate. It's blown up the SMS. So there's a lot of people that are saying, get this Sydney bias journalist off. And then there's others saying, he's got you beaten here, boys, the Everest is. So I love it. It's what we like in racing. It all engenders the debate. We'll do it again next week, gents.
See you, mate. Michael.
Chris Roots from the Sydney Morning Herald, Damien Ratcliffe from The Age. Quick break, and then we've got a very special in-studio guest, Ben Mason, one of the best vets in the business.